Here's our welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
As you study the book of Philemon, you'll find that there are three main characters mentioned in the book. We have Philemon, to whom the letter is addressed. We're told, I believe it is earlier in the chapter, we're told that he was a refreshing saint. Verse number 7, Paul says, "The saints are refreshed by thee, brother." He's talking to Philemon. So he was a great help in the ministry of Paul. So we see Philemon, the refreshing saint, and then we have Onesimus. We're calling the runaway slave. Here he had obviously stolen something or wronged Philemon in some way, and he has run away. He's a fugitive. And then lastly, the third character, we have the Apostle Paul. And he is what I'm calling a real soul winner. He wins Onesimus to the Lord while he is in prison. And so I want to focus in on this character, this fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul, by the name of Onesimus. I want us to pick up our reading, please, at verse number 10. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own mouth, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Now I love verse 17. "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Apparently, Philemon owned a rather large estate and properties, and he had slaves at this time working for him in various capacities. Verse number 2 mentions the church in thy house. It's largely believed that he was a key figure, that he was the pastor of the church of Colossae. His operation was based in Colossae. And this is where Onesimus comes into the picture. He had been one of the servants to this man, Philemon. Philemon was close friends with Paul. And obviously, Onesimus has stolen something from Philemon and has run away. And he ends kept fleeing back to the slums and the alleyways of the imperial city of Rome. He might have gone there possibly to hide out, to flee from authority, to live the free and easy life of a thief. But somehow God in his providence had arranged it so that Onesimus' path was to cross with Paul while Paul was serving a sentence in prison. Philemon and his family lived in Colossae. The Colossae church was meeting in his house, and Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians at the same time that he writes this letter to Philemon. And in that letter, Paul mentioned that Onesimus would be coming home. And so Paul gave both letters, the letter of Colossians and the letter of Philemon. He gives them to Tychicus and Onesimus to carry back to Philemon. And so in our text, Onesimus here is called the begotten. Verse number 10 is the verse of scripture we'll center our thoughts around this morning. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now let me add one thing before I go any further. Paul is in prison. But Paul was not sulking in prison. But Paul was soul winning in prison. He's knocked down in the dumps and bellyaching about his circumstances. But Paul was a soul conscious man. Paul was interested in people coming to Christ. And he was not concerned with his own affairs. Paul had a burden for people. And Paul leads this man Onesimus to the Lord, even in the midst of one of his darkest hours. Now, I want to point out three thoughts of emphasis from the text. It will not be long. But I want to give you three things on Onesimus the begotten. First of all, I'd like for you to notice here that Paul writes with a fatherly language. Paul uses this fatherly language in many other places. You remember that he refers to Timothy as my son. He also refers to Titus as my son in the faith. And here we find him referring to Onesimus as my spiritual son. We don't know what Onesimus might become. And very little is said about him in the New Testament. We know something about Timothy's life after conversion. And Titus's life after conversion. But we don't know that much about Onesimus. But Paul had so much confidence in the work that God had wrought in his life that he was willing to call him to my son. An old writer said, it may be hard on some fathers not to have a son. But it is so much harder on a boy not to have a father. Of course, he was speaking of this in the physical sense. But it is nonetheless just as true in the spiritual sense. Paul looked upon several of these men as his spiritual seed and his offspring. I was thinking earlier about some of the godly saints and the men and women down through the years who have invested in my life. And some of the old men of God who put truth in me. Men who man who took time with me, and I am a product of their influence.
Yeah.
I would say that many of you who are seasoned in the faith, you would look back over your life and credit some old gray-headed men and women who loved you and took time with you and tried to show you the way and help you to grow in grace and in knowledge. Oh, I see Paul was a spiritual father to Onesimus. Paul never failed to give out the witness. And Paul's life showed forth an abundance of fruit. Paul had spiritual offspring and many spiritual children on his account. And Paul loved people. And everywhere that Paul went, he gave out the witness and told people about the Savior. I was reading a little story the other night about a young girl who had just recently been saved. And she told her mother, she said, "Mother, I think Jesus has moved out of my heart." And the mother was puzzled, and she asked the young girl, she said, "Well, honey, where do you suppose that Jesus has went?" And the little girl said, "Well, I think he's moved into my throat, because everywhere I go, I want to tell people about it." And I would say, God, give us that same burden and same compassion for people's souls who are lost in sin and need the Lord. God, help us to give out the witness and to produce spiritual fruit in our lives and follow the example of the great Apostle Paul. There was a reason Paul had so many spiritual sons in the closing chapters of his life. It was because all of his days he was a soul conscious man. He didn't just look at people as flesh and bone, but he looked at people as a soul. He saw deeper than the physical body. He saw souls walking around whose eternal destiny was weighed in the balance. And Paul was always pointing people to the cross and showing them the way to Christ. He was a soul-conscious man. I asked this morning, dear friend, are you producing spiritual seed? Are you bringing forth children into the family of God? Oh, I say here, Paul wins Onesimus in the midst of a dark hour. Locked away behind the bars of a prison cell. But we see the providential hand of God at work in the life of Onesimus. And God had so arranged it that he put the Apostle Paul in his path. Aren't you glad that God knows what he's doing and the providential hand of God moves over your life? And it's like pieces on a chessboard. And God puts this piece in the place. And God moves this here. And God does that there. And God just arranges everything the way that it needs to be. He did that in your conversion. He brought you to a place where you looked to Christ and you were saved. Aren't you glad for the providential hand of God working in your life on your behalf, even when you don't know what he's doing?
Yes, sir.
I see here that Paul writes with a fatherly language. He refers to Onesimus as my son. And God brought Onesimus across the path of a man that had all the answers to his problems. And while a dear friend Paul was bound in physical chains, God broke the spiritual chains that had Onesimus bound. And thank the Lord, God of the puzzle together. And God brings you to just where you need to be in your life. I say he writes this letter with a fatherly language. But second of all, might I say that Paul writes not only with a fatherly language, but he writes of a fugitive's life. He speaks of the time in verse 15 when he had, as Paul described it, departed for a season. A time when he was running from what was right. And here we find that Paul is pleading on behalf of a former fugitive. He writes of a fugitive's life. Now let me say two things briefly about the fugitive's life. First of all, I see he has what I'm calling the checkered past of a former fugitive. There was a time, and it was no secret, that Onesimus had lived a low life before he came to Christ and before his path crossed with the Apostle Paul. No doubt Onesimus has been haunted by the memories of the past. No doubt people would call into question his character. And they would say things like, I remember when Onesimus had sticky fingers. Don't you remember when he embezzled money from his master's house? He stole from Philemon and then ran to Rome. Don't you remember that? Some people might have said, well, I don't trust that old boy as far as I could pick him up and throw him. And I've caught Onesimus in so many lies in the past. I think that boy would rather climb a tree and lie to you than stand on the ground and tell you the truth. I'm sure Paul heard all kinds of references to the past of Onesimus. And he heard the whispers, and he heard people digging up the skeletons and mentioning his checkered past. But little did they know that God had worked a great work in the heart of a young man. That God had done something miraculous and supernatural. And the Lord changed a young man that at one time was headed down the wrong path. Can I say this morning, there is nothing and nobody who's too hard for the Lord. God is able to change whosoever will. I say some of you may be haunted by your past, and people want to bring it up and throw it in your face. But I say God is great enough to work a work in your heart that can change anybody. Hallelujah. Oh, they're talking about the checkered past of a former fugitive. You see, man cannot look on the inside, but God looketh upon the heart. And if you're not careful, might I say, people will never let you move forward. They will never let you advance, because it is in the nature of man to do their best to keep you locked away in the prison of your past. And I want to say to you that you must move on. You cannot look back. You've got to go forward with God and progress in your life. I want to say that if you hang on to your past, if you keep hanging on, before long it'll start to affect your future. And if you keep looking back, you're going to end up like Lot's wife and turn into a pillar of salt, and then you're not going to go anywhere. I say some folks are always flying backwards. Some people They don't care about where they're going. They just care about where they've been. And I say too many of God's people this morning are living in the past and not the present. And they forget, not only is He a God of I have, but He's a God of I am. He is a God of the here and now. He is a God of the present. Hallelujah. And He's interested in you right now in this very moment. Oh, I say, there is the checkered past of this former fugitive. I've heard people talk about the golden years. And a lot of older people are bad about this, talking about the good old days. And I'm not discounting the sweet memories. And we cherish those memories and hold them close. But let's not become so consumed with the good old days that we forget the here and now. God doesn't want us to live in the sweet by and by. He wants us to live in the sweet here and now. Oh, I say, you'll never move ahead if you keep looking in the rear view mirror. You got to put it in gear and put your foot on the gas pedal and get to moving forward for God. Amen. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord. Oh, somebody said, the past is a ship's rudder to guide you, not a vessel to steer you. He said it's not an anchor to drag you. We can learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. You got to keep your eyes on the road. You know, if you don't keep your eyes on the road, we've got a few beginner drivers here this morning. Let me give you a piece of advice. If you don't keep your eyes on the road, you're going to wind up in a ditch. Amen. And I think some people are like that spiritually. They can't keep their eyes forward, set on the prize, keep their face like a flint. They take their eyes off. They don't have the spiritual blinders, one on each side, looking forward. They look to the right and to the left and they look back. And that's why their spiritual lives end up in the ditch. And they never go anywhere else with God. I say, here's the checkered past of a former fugitive. But not only that, but let me say, second of all, I see the changed perception of this former fugitive. You know, this is not the same man that people are looking for. He's a new man. Onesimus, who was once undependable, is now a man Paul says is dependable. He is a benefit. He is an asset to the ministry of Paul. He was no longer a liability. Did you know that some people in the church are more of a liability than they are an asset? But I want to be beneficial to the work of God. I want to be a blessing to God's people. But now people have a changed perception of Onesimus. And now he who was once unprofitable is now profitable. In other words, you might say he was a help, not a hindrance. I believe we should all have a desire to be like this man, Onesimus. And might I say that only a work of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ is able to accomplish something like this in somebody's life. I want to say, brother, God knows how to transform people's lives and take the unprofitable and make them profitable. I want to tell you, Paul is writing now of the new Onesimus. He was a man that had gained a reputation as being a thief and a pickpocket. But now Paul is talking about one that he can trust. He's vouching for a former thief. I want to say, brother, listen, God so works a work in our inward man that it starts to show up on our outward man.
Amen.
And I say God is able to transform the heart.
Amen.
And when the heart is changed, the outside will change.
Amen.
And people will know that there's a great difference.
Yes,
in your life.
Amen.
You won't talk like you used to talk.
And
go where you used to go and do the things you used to do. They'll look over there and say, there's something different about that old boy. That old girl ain't the same gal I used to run around with. And the world will have a changed perception of you and I after God gets a hold of us. Oh, listen. The new man which is created after Christ. And I say thank God for the day when the Lord marked it down in the courts of heaven and His sweet pardon was granted and He made us a new creature in Christ. We're no longer criminals,
yes,
but children of our Heavenly Father. We're no longer fugitives, but fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. We're no longer separated from Him, but thank God we're saved. I say, thank God for the day that He changed you and I and made us a new creature in Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time the Bible said when we were separated from God because of our sin. Paul said to Philemon, this man is no longer a fugitive,
right.
But now he's a friend.
Yeah.
He no longer counts him as a fugitive, but he counts him as family.
Amen.
He no longer counts him as a slave, but thank God he's a son.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Paul might have looked upon Onesimus with such admiration and patience, because Paul himself was a man whom the world used to look at as a murderer and a blasphemer. But now their whole perception has changed about him. And I think Paul looks at Onesimus and says, I know where you're coming from, son. There used to be a time when I was like that. But oh, God got a hold of me. God's mercy and God's grace did something for me that nothing else could ever do. And God changed me. I know if He'd change a man like me, thank God He'd change a man like you. Because nothing is too hard for our God. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. Hey, I'm not getting turned loose in a minute if y'all help me. Amen. Oh, I say thank God. I see here of it Paul is vouching for a fugitive. Oh yes, listen my friend. Only God can bring down a wild man like Saul of Tarsus. His very breath had been murderous toward God's people. You know, I think about Paul. I picture him like a tornado. I mean, he's just like a twister and a whirlwind. Saul of Tarsus, he blew through the church and left nothing but a trail of destruction and debris. But while Saul traveled to Damascus, he was going to do more damage. But thank God the light from heaven shone and broke him down, as it were, and he fell to the earth. And the Lord Jesus spoke out of heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why kickest against the bricks? He said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into somebody. And thank God when Saul met the Lord, he was never the same.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
Oh, he met Christ. Thank God Christ met him.
That's right.
And now he's changed. He's saved. He's converted. He's a new man.
Yes,
he's another man. He's a different man.
Amen.
This new man wore a new name. No longer Saul, but Paul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say when God saved us, there was a new name written down in the books of heaven. And thank God we can look up to the sky and lift our hands and say, hallelujah. He wrote it down in the courts of heaven. When God saved me, He gave me a new name.
That's right.
God took Saul, made him Paul, made him a preacher of the gospel. And the only explanation for such a radical, supernatural change is an Almighty God. The grace of God. You know, the grace of God can change a lion into a lamb.
Yes, that's right.
The grace of God can take an old black raven and make him a white dove. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The grace of God is able, thank God, to take the unclean and make them clean.
Yeah, that's right.
The grace of God has availed to all men.
Yeah.
I say hallelujah. Bless His name.
Yeah,
if God can redeem a man who was called the chief of sinners,
right.
Don't ever give up hope on anybody.
Yeah.
The grace of God can change anybody.
Yeah.
I say in this inspired letter written by the hand of Paul and addressed to Philemon, we find that Paul writes with a fatherly language. He refers to Onesimus as my beloved son in the faith. And we see him not only writing with a fatherly language, but we see him writing of a fugitive's life. Onesimus had fled unto Rome, but now Paul is vouching for him and saying he's not the same man as he was when he left that day, Philemon. God's got a hold of that boy. I want to say, third and last of all, notice that Paul writes a forgiving letter.
Amen.
He writes a forgiving letter.
Thank God for it.
Now here's Paul pleading with Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Why? Because Onesimus deserved it? Oh no. He had what's coming to him. He should have been persecuted. He should have been thrown in prison. Paul's not writing and asking for forgiveness because Onesimus deserves it. But he's writing on behalf of Onesimus because of grace and mercy. Now, I read where Philemon, under the Roman law, had every right to execute his slave for fleeing. But Paul makes this request and said, Philemon, would you treat him like you would treat me?
Yes, amen.
This is a beautiful picture of grace now.
Amen.
I want you to get a hold of this.
Right.
He said, if I was ever your partner, Philemon, would you count Onesimus as a partner as well?
Amen.
In other words, Onesimus is going to receive all the benefits of being a part of the family.
Amen.
Oh, I hope you can get a hold of this.
Yes, amen, brother.
Too many, listen, too many are holding on to grudges.
Amen.
And too many are entertaining unpleasant memories. And they have not forgiven someone who in the past might have wronged them. You say, well, preacher, you mean I'm supposed to forgive her for what she said? You got it. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to forgive him for the way he acted? That's right. God would have told us to embrace them and to forgive our brethren.
Amen.
As God, for Christ's sake,
yes,
has forgiven us.
Amen.
Now, what did Paul say in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians? You know, Paul practiced what he preached.
You're right.
And he said, be ye kind one to another.
You're right.
I just believe when God's people come into his house, they ought to speak kind one to another. I believe when they see each other on the street, they ought to speak to each other with love and affection. They ought to encourage one another and embrace one another and try to uplift them. And I see Paul practicing what he preached, and he said, God forgave me. I ought to forgive my brothers and my sisters. I know they don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but thank God, something in the heart of God went out to my misery, and that's grace, and that's mercy, like we can never explain.
Amen. That's right.
Now let me say this, you live long enough, and someday, somebody will wrong you. But might I say, live long enough, and you will wrong somebody.
Yeah,
and there will come a time when you will need somebody to forgive you like they need you to forgive them.
Amen.
You know, failure might be our best friend, because failure teaches us not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. You know, really, I don't know if I would have much confidence in a man or a woman who has not had some degree of failure in their life. Because they're only stronger coming out on the other side of that failure. Failure is necessary for spiritual growth. And I say, dear friend, Paul was dealing with a failure, but thank God he had forgiveness in his heart.
Amen.
And I believe Paul said to Onesimus, son, I feel like you need to take this to Philemon and go see him. Now, I've written this letter. I want you to take it to him. I don't know if Paul said to him, now don't open it up and read it before you get to Colossae. But I want you to take his letter and hand deliver it to Philemon. And he said, there's some unfinished business that we've got to tend to. And I say, some have unfinished business. There is degrees of unforgiveness and grudges that have been left to fester. And I say, it's time that we take the letter of forgiveness and hand deliver it to that one who stands in desperate need of our forgiveness.
Right.
You know, I bet Onesimus was hesitant. I imagine he said, what do you mean, Paul? You mean I've got to go face him? That's right. You've got to go face him. Mm-hmm. And Onesimus, I think you're the one that needs to take it back. It involves you. And so I want you to deliver the letter. And so I can see Onesimus fold it up, put it in his pocket, and he makes the trip down to Colossae. And at any rate, when he got to Philemon, he might have said, sir, before you judge me, before you condemn me for my past, I want you to read this letter, sir. This is from the Apostle Paul. And no doubt Philemon said, the Apostle Paul, when did you see him? And he said, I saw him down at Rome, sir. And he asked me if I'd hand deliver this letter to you. And I can just see Philemon as he opens that letter. He begins to read. He gets down to this part right here where Paul says, if thou countest me therefore a partner, receive me him as myself. For if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, here Paul speaks some of the most beautiful words of forgiveness that could ever be spoken. I like what he said. Put that on mine account. Aren't you glad for the day God said, put those sins on my account. I'm going to nail them to the cross. Hallelujah. I'm going to do away with them. As far as the east is from the west, I'm going to put them behind my back. God said, put it on my account. I wonder if Philemon reached out his arms when he read those words. And he pulled Onesimus up close to his chest. And he might have said, no, it wasn't Paul delivering it. But he might have said, welcome home, Paul. Welcome home. Oh, Paul said, receive him as myself. Oh, bless his holy name. That's exactly what Christ has done for each of us. And just as Philemon would receive Onesimus for Paul's sake, our loving Father has received us in the family of God for Christ's sake. And thank God when we came to him, he looked at us as he would look at his son, and he stretched out his arms. And he said, welcome home, Jesus. Welcome home, son. I love you as my own. You're not a fugitive anymore. Thank God you're a part of the family. You're not a stranger anymore. You're my son. You're not a criminal anymore, my book. Thank God you're my child. And where you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it, but thank God he stretched open his arms and welcomed us into the faith.
Amen.
I say God has written us a forgiving letter. And that letter consists of 66 books all in one. Thank God for the blessed day I found out that Christ forgave all my sins, past, present, and future, and put them on his account. I want to close with this. I read a story not long ago about an attorney, and he meditated on several of the scriptures that had to do with forgiveness. And this attorney decided that he was going to cancel the debt of all of his clients that had owed him money for more than 6 months. He said, I'm going to take out the bill and stamp paid in full on 17 of these bills that are delinquent. And so he sent out the letters, certified mail. One by one, the letters were sent back. And they were unsigned and they were undelivered. And maybe a couple of people had moved away, though it was not likely. But the story said that 16 out of the 17 letters came back to the lawyer, because the clients had refused to sign for the letters and opened the envelope, fearing that this attorney was suing them for their debts. And little did they know that those were letters of forgiveness.
Amen.
Oh, might I say that we owed a debt for our sin that we could not pay. But our loving Lord was willing to cancel it and stamp across it, paid in full. And God was willing to settle the account. But I say too many will not even open the letter that explains how it's to be done. Nothing in us has ever deserved the forgiveness of God. But that God, he is a God of everlasting mercy and unlimited grace. And there was a day, thank God, our judge became our friend.
Amen.
And he pleaded our case and said to me, like he said to that woman caught in the act of adultery, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Somebody said, well, preacher, I remember what you used to be. Brother, he doesn't look at what I used to be.
Amen.
But thank God he looks at what I am. In Jesus Christ. Thank God for the day when I opened the letter, dear brother, and there were words written in red that said, I love you.
Amen.
I'll put it on my account.
That's good.
Amen. Isn't it good to be saved?
Believers are partakers.
You have been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Are partakers of the benefit.